Okay, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa or Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. Put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk. We're not gonna take it.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week, we have our host, Tom Dupree. What you got on your mind, Tom?
A lot of stuff. Psalm 91, King James Version. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall keep his angels charge over thee, to keep them, thee, in all thy ways. I want to just read a few stories having to do with the Biden administration. I hear a lot of the commenters attacking people that were affiliated with or part of the Trump administration. But I don't hear him talking about how great the Biden administration is. So I want to kind of talk about how great the Biden administration is. I think it's possibly the most transformative president in 75 years. So I want to do that. The new border chaos. This is by Rich Lowry. He's with the New York Post. And he's going to be generally in favor of the Biden administration, but, you know, he probably sees a few things that maybe they could do a little better. A crisis is a terrible thing to create. This, nonetheless, is what President Biden has done at the southern border. His rhetoric during the campaign suggested an open-handed approach to migrants coming to the U.S., and his early moves to undo Donald Trump's border policies are creating a migrant surge that risks running out of control. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says the situation isn't a crisis, but a challenge, an acute and stressful challenge with some urgency, but merely a challenge. Consider the contours of this challenge. Twice as many people, about 80,000, tried to cross the border illegally in January of this year as compared with January a year ago. Even though it isn't peak traveling season yet, that traditionally comes in May and June, the U.S. Border Patrol has already begun releasing migrants into U.S. towns on the border. Axios reported on a briefing prepared for Biden that warned that the number of migrant kids is on pace to set a record. There aren't nearly enough beds to accommodate them. Biden officials tend to discuss the push factors, the conditions that prompt migrants to flee their countries in Central America. But changing those underlying conditions, even if doable, is a long-term proposition. What we have much more direct control over is the pull factor, our own policies and practices that create an incentive to come here. Trump had a number of false starts at the border, but by the end, he had created an entirely reasonable system based on his lawful authorities to oppose at the border. There is no good reason to rip up much of this arrangement, although that's exactly what Biden has done. I don't know how many executive orders he's written in his first time in office, but it seems like a lot. I know it's over 40. During the pandemic, Trump turned around illegal crossers at the border on public health grounds. Biden has created an exception for unaccompanied minors, which is an obvious incentive for families to send children under age 18. Under Trump, the Migration Protection Protocols, also known as Remain in Mexico, ended the practice of letting Central American migrants into the U.S. while their asylum claims were adjudicated. This was crucial because under the old arrangement, asylum seekers were allowed in while their claims were considered. Even if the claims were ultimately rejected, as the vast majority of them were, the migrants overwhelmingly ended up staying away. This was a huge magnet to migrants. Get to the border and claim asylum, and you're in the U.S., very likely to stay. Now, let's talk a little bit about the system that's been going on for some time. We know, anybody that lives in Lexington knows that there are a lot of illegals in town that have been here for, I mean, years, in some cases, decades. People that don't have even green cards. They may have green cards, but they don't have citizenship. And if you shut down illegal or semi-legal migration, there are so many industries here in town that would suffer. I think one has to look at what's the upside. At 9 out of 10 people coming to the border and trying to cross are probably people that want to work. You're going to have some bad apples. You always will have that. But there are a lot of people want to work. Now, what about native-born Americans, African-Americans and white Americans? We know that probably 50 to 55% of them do not want to work. They have figured out how to live off of the government to the extent that they get what they need and they don't work. Now, I believe in laws, but there are a lot of laws that get broken every day, like speed limits, many things. People cheat on their taxes. I would say try to look on the upside of President Trump's very good border protocols that came out of a lot of thought being essentially thrown in the trash can. The upside is that maybe 9 out of 10 of those people that are coming into the U.S. illegally are here to work. If they're here to get on welfare, we got a big problem. I don't know the answer, but my guess is they live in countries where they've had to work just to put food on the table, that have very limited social networks or safety nets. All right. Next article. Will the real president of the United States please stand up? There is no evidence that Joe Biden is actually serving as president. This is an article by, in the Washington Times. You literally get censored out of existence for suggesting that anyone other than Joe Biden won the election last November. Yet there is no evidence today, 4 months later, that Mr. Biden is actually serving as president. A weird Tron video this week appeared to show Mr. Biden looking every bit the part of Max Headroom, interfacing with House Democrats in Congress. Digitally, of course. He droned on for a few minutes using scripted psychopablum, sitting alone at a table. The table was empty except for his instruction manual. As he spoke haltingly, he looked up at a giant screen from which House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stared awkwardly, smiling. One could imagine the dim droids watching from somewhere in cybersphere, nodding along obediently. The digital president then opened the floor for questions. I'm happy to take questions, he said, pretending for a moment to actually be the leader of the free world. Then he remembered, if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, Mr. Biden, adding using his bizarre nickname for the smiling Miss Pelosi. Whatever you want me to do, he added meekly. Even more alarming than his failure to display proper subservience was the notion that Mr. Biden had offered to allow questions and possibly even answer them. The overlords were not pleased. They immediately issued a long censorship beep. Then the overlords cut away from the video of the man claiming to be the leader of the free world and replaced it with a test pattern of colored bars. There would be no questions and definitely no answers. Just a few days before, someone claiming to be the American president bombed Syria. The bombing was followed by a report out of the White House.
Hey, are you looking to buy a new car? Are you stuck in a high-rate loan and looking to refinance? Well, UK Federal Credit Union can help. Right now, UK Federal Credit Union has auto loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Apply for an auto loan online at ukfcu.org or in person at the dealership. Get your dream car today at UK Federal Credit Union. UK Federal Credit Union, it's banking only better. Annual percentage rate, member qualification supply, rated subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosure, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
The Vice President Kamala D. Harris was not included in the decision to bomb Syria and that she was very displeased. That may or may not rule out Ms. Harris as the person who is operating the federal government right now. Certainly, it seems to suggest she is, in fact, not currently the president. So who is? It's a real good question. It doesn't attempt to answer the question. But you did have Biden say things, and they're on tape, like we have the largest voter fraud organization in the history of the country. This was while he was running, and I don't need your vote. So the idea here is maybe it isn't really Biden that's pulling the strings at all. Why did he stay in his basement for so long? Why did he go out and quote campaign to groups of 40 and 50 people when Trump had groups of 50 and 70,000? It just doesn't make sense. They're not going to be able to keep a lid on it forever. Finally, whoever's running this deal will emerge. the junta or whoever is really behind Biden getting elected, and you know, it'll become clear. But it wasn't the voters that decided. Most votes for Biden were an anti-Trump vote because people have a problem with leaders, and you know that he's got, you know, Trump's got some kind of psychological problem or whatever you want to say. There's a lot of explanation. Sure, he's got psychological problems. So do I. So do you. All right, and this final thing, everything's coming up COVID for much public spending, even as the virus fades. This is Steve Miller, Real Clear Investigations. Real Clear Politics usually doesn't do a story unless there's something to it. For some special interest, the fading coronavirus pandemic poses a problem, but not always an insurmountable one. Big labor and its acolytes cite the virus as a compelling reason for doubling the minimum wage and forcing businesses to provide more paid sick leave, while the Biden administration is using the pandemic as part of its justification for overhauling immigration towards eventual amnesty for undocumented migrants. Meanwhile, the left-leaning Brookings Institution has successfully persuaded the federal government to allocate more money to child care programs in the name of pandemic safety. These changes have long been on the policy wish lists of advocates. But in a time of pandemic, they evoke words widely attributed to Winston Churchill. Never let a good crisis go to waste, or as a headline this week might sum up a new urgency. The U.S. is edging towards normal, alarming some officials. Several states and municipalities struck while the virus was hot by signing off on COVID-connected sick leave rules. More are considering broadening their policies. In Colorado, lawmakers passed a permanent change to the state's so-called Leave Act, citing the pandemic. It requires businesses with 16 employees or more to allow workers in the state to accrue up to 6 paid sick days annually beginning in 2021. Advocates deny using the virus as an opportunity, instead contending it merely further exposed programs long present that should at least be addressed. Okay, the state, that is, by that I don't mean the state of Kentucky. I mean the apparatus, the governing apparatus of the state will always act in order to get more people dependent upon it. It doesn't like small businesses because they tend to be run by people who are self-motivated, who tend to be self-reliant, who tend to not look to government as the source and the solution for everything. So when they run around passing out these checks for people, those PPP loans, at the beginning of the pandemic, that was a massive, you know, they were forgivable loans, and it was a massive, and they went out unaccounted for. Huge millions and millions of dollars went to wrong sources. There was no quality control in all that. It was a giveaway, and it was an attempt to buy more advocates. All those $1,200 stimulus checks, they took a whole group of people and made them dependent upon the government. Restaurant workers, oh, well, I'm getting my unemployment and I'm getting my stimulus check. So you took, it may be a lot more than 50% of the people in the government now. It could be a lot more. People who don't understand that when government gives you something, it's taking something from you. When you can't get things for free, you know, but people don't understand that. They think that situation with the COVID vaccine, that it's free and it helps me. So therefore I'm going to go do it because it's the government and they, and the big drug companies, and they couldn't be doing anything bad to me. And so they've signed up for this thing. And a lot of people that would normally be conservatives just check their brains at the door. And I think in times of stress and considerable stress, it's common for people to do this. The only way I've been able to keep from doing stupid things is through prayer and seeking God on a regular basis. And that doesn't make me perfect or correct, but it does help me focus. What do you think about this, Elizabeth?
What about whether you're perfect?
Yeah, that part.
Or correct?
Yeah, that part too.
You give me a microphone and ask me that question. Well, you are a man of God. I will say that. Your heart is always in the right place.
I wasn't asking you to comment on me.
I'm trying to be kind first.
Okay. You
know?
Okay.
Now, you know what, Tom? You speak from the heart. You speak what's on your mind. And that is what makes you who you are. Now, whether you're always right or whatever.
I never said I was.
You know, that's a whole nother.
But like with the vaccines and the stuff and people doing what they do. And COVID and all.
Well, it's interesting. People have questioned a different angle. One that surprises me. They're not as suspect of the virus itself or the fact that there's a 1%. My concern is that if I were to catch the virus and was asymptomatic, that I would infect someone that it really would harm. That's my concern. Now, am I afraid of the virus itself? No, because we take pretty good care of our health unless something, we don't have pre-existing conditions or anything like that. So that said, that's my answer to the virus question. I'm with the under 1%.
Yeah, but you could give them the flu and be asymptomatic on that too. So, I mean.
Not usually with the flu. Usually you have something going on. But anyway, that's it's kind of a loaded question. It's up to everybody to do their due diligence and research about the virus and about the vaccine. That's my answer, and that's my final answer. So, that said, it's time for a break. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group, coming to you from the Dupree Studios on Main Street in Lexington. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
For more information about contests on this station, go to WLAP.com.
The reopening of America.
In phases.
To ensure vaccines get into arms.
Pandemic rescue package.
To reopen our schools.
To opening up our economy.
What you'll need to know. Through every phase. News Radio 630.
Actually see other people.
WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Did you know that over 90% of male enhancement pills are virtually the same thing that's repackaged, redone over and over again? Why settle for the same old product when you can get something completely different? Something that takes male enhancement into the 21st century. Something that really works. Men, you need to try Noxetril, the all-natural male enhancement formula that will unlock your performance in the bedroom to a level you could only dream of. Try to imagine Viagra on steroids. Noxetril is so powerful, that's why it took years for it to finally become available to the public without a prescription. So call now and take advantage of our special Noxetril free bottle offer today. Oh yeah, we recommend that you use the Noxetril dose as directed. Think of your partner. We certainly don't want you to overperform in the bedroom.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2190. Free bottles for a limited time. So call now, 800-993-2190, 800-993-2190.
The 2021 Honda Pioneer lineup is here to make light work of the job and add a heavy dose of fun to your day off. Every Pioneer side-by-side is stocked full of smart technology, responsive power, and Honda's hallmark of engineering excellence. The only thing left to add is you. Then you'll understand how life is better on a Honda. For your safety, read the owner's manual, wear a helmet and eye protection, always wear your seatbelt, and keep the side nets and doors closed. Pioneers are for drivers 16 years and older.
It is a chilly but a great-looking start to the weekend. Plenty of sunshine on your Saturday. We're talking about a high into the mid and upper 40s. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation.
Hey, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa or Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Now more than ever, it's critical that customers find accurate information about your business. LocalWorks by Yahoo Small Business makes it easy to add, edit, and publish business information across 70-plus local directories from a single dashboard. Ensure your business is found with LocalWorks and save 10% today by using code LWPODCAST. Visit yahoosmallbusiness.com/local to find out more.
This is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Everyone loves the office. Admit it. You wish you had a Dundee. Instead, you have this, the Office Deep Dive Podcast, hosted by Brian Baumgartner, a.k.a. Kevin from The Office. Every week in this new hilarious podcast, Brian sits down with one of his old friends from The Office as they discuss their favorite moments on set and never-before-told stories.
Your kids watch that?
Never.
No, come on.
They've never watched it.
Listen to The Office Deep Dive on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wonder what makes Omaha Steaks so good? Order today and find out at omahasteaks.com. Enter CHEER into the search bar for the Butcher's Best Sellers package at an exclusive price and save over 50%. 29 items from the Fork Tender Butcher's Cut Filet Mignons to Savory Pork Chops and more. Plus, order today and receive 4 chicken breasts and 4 extra burgers for free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type CHEER in the search bar, and order the Butcher's Best Seller Pack today.
So much is happening, but who can you trust? You need to check out Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing news channel in America. Watch it on all major cable systems and see shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're giving you the real story on Biden and Pelosi. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone now or watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, and more. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. So should you.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second segment of the first hour. Tom's got more hot topics in the news this week to talk about. So take it away, Tom.
All right. It's an article by Crystal Dixon in Christian Headlines. As we move towards a post-pandemic era, church leaders are trying to identify what will be the new norms for their congregations. With everyone at home this year because of the COVID-19, well, I wasn't at home. But anyway, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, many organizations turned to online platforms to stay connected, and the churches were no exception. Even churches with no online ministry sought to find ways to maintain a community within the church. Some did so through worship and prayer with their congregations online. In a recent study called The State of the Digital Church, Barna researchers studied the willingness of American adults to participate in online church services. Barna asked participants basic questions to determine things such as the number of adults actually attending online church, the number of digital church attendees willing to invite friends to log on to church, and what kinds of things enhance or take away from the online worship experience. The research group, in collaboration with Alpha, published a complete survey, findings, and conclusion in a journal called Five Questions Every Church Leader Should Ask About Digital Prayer. Despite various obstacles to engaging in online church, the research team discovered in large that those who do prayerfully participate in the digital experience describe meaningful and shared experiences and encounters with God. According to the research, a consistent prayer life fosters honest interest in online prayer groups. Over 68% of Christians say they are currently engaging in online worship and prayer services. This number doubles the number of non-Christians who convey interest. Data in Barna's report suggests there is still an opportunity for church leaders to enhance, or in some cases, launch their online church services. The researchers have demonstrated how participation in digital church can be strengthened by recognizing and encouraging specific age groups, millennials, Gen Z, Gen X, non-white Christians, and active Christians and church attendees with high digital openness. By identifying their actual attendees, church leaders can start online church services with a virtual group that actively participates in times of prayer and worship. All right, that's good. Listen, there are people who, because they're shut-ins or something along those lines, cannot get out, don't want to go. I mean, it's not that they don't want to go. They probably want to go with all their heart, but they simply cannot. For people like that, I think the online thing has been a great boon, if you will, B-O-O-N. But to use online participation or the availability of it as an excuse not to meet in person is absolutely wrong. People say, well, you know, I wouldn't dare meet in person. I'm afraid of the virus spreading. I'm afraid of people singing. What ever happened to trusting in God? It's interesting. What I've seen or noticed in people during the pandemic, if you will, has been, especially among a lot of Christians, has been a willingness to kind of allow their brain to come unscrewed. And I think a lot of it has to do with fear. What's interesting to me is that I have seen people that I would say are pretty much in many ways fearless. They do jobs that could potentially hazard their lives. They've seen a lot of death, and they've been in wars. They've seen people get killed. For some reason, this pandemic has come along, and they've had this incredible fear of death and dying by suffocation from the pandemic. Even while so many possible medications that would potentially, and are now being used with people that have COVID, can alleviate the thing. With the cytokine storm that fills up your lungs, they got ways of dealing with that. Now, if you're an alcoholic and already completely compromised, yeah, you might have a problem. If you weigh 400 pounds, yes, you could have a problem. But the mortality rate is so low. Yet I've seen people just completely fold. Any opposition to this scares them. And, you know, I would kind of loosely categorize people that are the most susceptible to this losing of the brain. People that work for government, local, state, and federal, school systems, people that work for big corporations, in many universities, that counts, big employers, and people who have a fairly compliant nature. These are people that have basically gotten in line and done what they think they're supposed to be doing. Now, back to churches. If you look in the Bible at people like the Apostle Paul, people like Peter, apostles, preachers and teachers, they were not people who would easily shrink back when Big Brother told them something. They would, if the government said something, they would try to comply, but if it meant stopping preaching the gospel, they would say, you have your rules, I have mine. I have to follow a higher authority. And we've seen things that have been going on for years get shut down because of COVID. And we've seen people that are supposed to be growing a pair, basically losing a pair. Gonads, that's what I mean. To be a Christian and to do Christian things in this day and age requires balls. I'm sorry. You got to have them. And it seems like very few people do. Now, people will say, I'm irresponsible, I'm stupid, I'm spreading the virus, stay at home, save lives, all that. Yeah, that's why they got masks. I wear a mask in situations that I'm told to. And basically what that does is keeps me from sneezing droplets on somebody. But shutting things down is gratuitous. But in the case of the church, it's killing people. They talk about saving lives, stay home and save. Do you know people get nutty when they stay home? We've been told this is all good for us. It isn't. It's very bad for us. You will not, pastors, any of you who are listening to me, you will not be able to have a church digitally. There's some churches that still have not basically reopened. I won't name them, one of which is a denomination I went to for 49 years. Oh, well, they just came out the other day and said, we're going to let 10 people at a time come back to church. You know what? I wonder if they'll even get 10. Because these pastors have abandoned their flocks when their flocks needed them the most. Oh, but I've been doing counseling and everything online. Sorry, it's not the same thing. They needed you to be there for them physically. And all you could do was preach a sermon that at the end, as part of the biblical admonition, you told people to wear a mask. It's wrong. You abandoned your flock. That's the only thing I can say. You are afraid of man rather than God. Okay, here's another article. Pastor John MacArthur. Anybody that's into the freedom movement follows John MacArthur, Grace Community Church in Los Angeles. You know, they tried to shut him down. He went to the Supreme Court and won. He's now back open again. I admire John MacArthur, but I don't agree with him on everything. Pastor teacher John MacArthur of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, recently argued that supporting religious freedom is idolatry. On Wednesday, MacArthur delivered a State of the Church address in place of this year's annual Shepherd's Conference, which was postponed because of ongoing litigation and recent threats from the state. About 3,000 men were expected to join. During Wednesday's address, MacArthur urged evangelicals to stop creating alliances with non-Christian groups and pushing for religious freedom, arguing that it's unnecessary. The gospel offends the sinner and seeks to break the sinner's comfort and contentment by bringing him into a stark realization of the eternal judgment of God. He noted that evangelicals become like Peter because they are looking for alliances with Satan that they think somehow can aid the kingdom. I told our congregation a few weeks ago that I could never really concern myself with religious freedom. I wouldn't fight for religious freedom because I won't fight for idolatry. Why would I fight for the devil to have as many false religions as possible and all of them be available to everyone? Despite religious freedom having wide support amongst Americans, MacArthur noted that Christians will continue to be targeted by the hostility of sinners. Well, people would say that it's a terrible thing to say, what about Christianity? Christianity advances whether there is religious freedom or not, he asserted. And there will always be religious freedom for all the lies. An 81-year-old pastor and author explained that every false religion is going to be free because it's linked to the kingdom of darkness that operates in the world. And Christians, whatever the label of religious freedom might be in its broadest sense, Christians are always the target, even with religious freedom, the hostility of sinners. Okay, I don't disagree with what he's saying there. It's actually quite interesting. He says that Christianity will advance even if there's not religious freedom. That's certainly been the case in China. But I would argue that if you had a Muslim neighbor and his roof fell in on him, would you not help him fix the roof? What he's saying is a little bit like the Amish. We're not going to get involved in matters of politics because we might get sullied. We're not going to join forces with anyone other than our people because, you know, we're undermining ourselves. Well, there's a parable of the wheat and the tares. And they are two different plants which grow up side by side, one of which will be pulled out at the end and the other will be thrown away and burned. We don't know which ones those are. It is kept secret from us. So we cannot say this person is evil and this person is good because we don't know what the final outcome is. Now, I'm not saying that we can't judge people by what they say or their works. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a reason why you would not help one person and help another. But there are times when we vote together on certain laws and ideas, and in order to get what we're trying to get done, we will lock arms, in that case, with non-believers and people that don't agree with our point of view. And to say what he says as if to know already what the outcome is, I think is disingenuous. I'm not going to judge him. I just disagree with him. All right, this one's going to be the least. New York Governor Cuomo issues public apology following sexual assault allegations. On Wednesday, Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York issued a public apology after three women recently came forward and accused him of sexual misconduct. I want New Yorkers to hear from me directly on this. First, I support a woman's right to come forward and think it should be encouraged in every way, Cuomo said in a press briefing. I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. Oh, you didn't understand at the time, Andrew? God, these guys are so incredibly unconscious of what the hell they do. This guy's a god. He's a fool. I cannot stand this SOB. But you know what? I should be charitable to him. So I should say I can't stand his attitude. Anyway, it was unintentional, and I truly, deeply apologize for it. Translated, I got caught. I feel awful about it, and frankly, I'm embarrassed by it. I'm embarrassed because I got caught. The Democratic, you know, throwing people into nursing homes that had COVID. Are you kidding me? But I never touched anyone inappropriately. In other words, I smoked the pot, but I didn't inhale. I never meant to offend anyone or hurt or cause anyone pain. No, I just wanted to get my rocks off is what it was. Nevertheless, Cuomo complied with New York Attorney General Letitia James, who is conducting an investigation into the matter. She's probably a Democrat. Probably he hired her. He's not going to retire, just like Clinton. They have no sense of what they've done to harm people. I did all this, but I'm not going to quit. I wasn't elected by politicians. I was elected by the people of New York. I'm not going to resign. God, this is unbelievable. Anyway, I like New York. I like the state of New York, and I like the New York City. And you know what I like? There's a lot of built infrastructure in the state of New York that dates back into the 1800s. Well, while we were down here pushing a plow and a mule, which nothing wrong with that, they were building really architectural gems with all their industrial and financial might. New York State built some of the finest old, I'm talking about dams, water companies, just the architecture of banks. There's a lot of really cool stuff in New York State. I'm not talking about New York City. I'm talking about going up into upstate New York. There's a lot of things that are really quite interesting. But liberal politics and the liberal way of life has ruined it. Too much debt. And it's sad. It's a big loss. But I don't know if the people could ever come back from, because this has been going on for decades now. I don't know. And you get a guy like Cuomo, his father was such an incredible public leader, Mario Cuomo, Just one of the, just a fantastic person. He's got this scumbag for a son who is nothing but. He's a fool. And then that clown of his, that brother that's on CNN, they come from a family. They dishonor their family every day. The father, Mario Cuomo, was a wonderful man, warm man. I mean, I never met him, but I heard a lot of great things about him over the years. It's terrible. State of New York, they got to get it right. But how are you going to? They need a revival. God needs to break forth in their midst, convict them of their sin, turn from their sin, and repent. Turn away and go the right path. The whole state. I pray for that in Jesus' name.
All right, that's a wrap for the first hour. We'll hope you stay tuned. For the second hour, our financial guys will be joining us from the Dupree Financial Group studios on Main Street in Lexington. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The reopening of America
in phases
to ensure vaccines get into arms.
Pandemic rescue package.
The reopening our schools.
To opening up our economy.
What you'll need to know through every phase. News Radio 630.
Actually see other people.
WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Hey, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa or Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.